As Unitarian Universalists, we're interested in learning the wisdom from all faiths and philosophies. A lot of UU multicultural representations contain a yin-yang symbol, so we take in some of the philosophy as part of our own, and that comes from Taoism. Taoism teaches moderation and balance in life, but it carries some baggage of its own, and that's part of what I'm going to go into today. I'll explore Taoism, what it is, how it can help us lead better and happier lives, the parts of Taoist wisdom that I think are compatible with Unitarian Universalist, worldview. The first time I heard of Taoism was during my religious search when I was in my teens. A number of books of the day touched on Taoist philosophy in a kind of surface manner. I remember buying a book of the writings of Lao Tzu, who is considered the founder of Taoism, along with the books of other philosophical writers who were in vogue at the time. In college, I took a comparative religions class, and it touched on Taoism a little bit, but not in too much depth. The useful takeaway that I got from it at the time was that it taught balance and moderation in life. That in itself is a really important thing, but I wasn't sure if I was applying it quite the way it was originally intended. At a time when extremism was in fashion as a way of demonstrating one's commitment and passion for matters, I found that a philosophy of moderation was valuable, and I still think so. So let's start with the history of Taoism. The word Tao, spelled T-A-O, translates to mean the way or the path. The history is intricately tied in with various philosophers that developed out of China. So let's start there. Let's go back to 600 BC. Numerous Chinese philosophers emerged and put forth their own spin on the way in which people should conduct themselves spiritually and ethically. The most famous of these, and probably the first well-known one, was Confucius. Confucius's text was called the Analects, and was comprised of books filled with his teachings on the topic of the way, and how to reach a state of wu wei, which meant virtue. In the Confucian way of thought, the rulers had lost their way, and in order to restore unification and peace to China, a ruler must emerge who possessed wu wei, virtue, and who had returned to the ideals of the golden age of the Zhou dynasty. Confucius is what's called an externalist. In other words, he preached that external ritual was crucial in developing internal virtue. Ritual will lead to virtue, and the acquisition of virtue will allow this magnetic force such that everyone who comes in contact with you will automatically be inspired to be good. Confucius saw human nature as innately being bad or evil. Confucius states that external practices such as taking care of your parents and worshiping your ancestors in precisely the right way will eventually be absorbed into your conception of self and internalize itself in the fabric of your being, turning you around into being a good person. Confucian ideals champion the goodness of culture and refinement. Confucius believed that music and the arts have the ability to create civilized humans. A number of paradoxes exist in Confucian philosophy. He says you must follow the way because you first love the way, and that you must not follow the way for any other reason. On the other hand, he doesn't tackle the question of how you can love a path you haven't yet undertaken. He says you should act in a spontaneous but good manner, but how can you try to be spontaneous? He shuns people who just go through the motions of the rituals because true virtue must be sincere, but how can you be sincere if it is within an innate human nature to be bad? And that it's the rituals themselves that will make you good. Is he asking what Western religions ask, the people commit themselves blindly to his way first? Taoism, as we think of it today, emerged as a reaction to Confucianism. It originated with a great thinker named Lao Tzu around the year 550 BC, so that was about 50 years later. The word Lao Tzu means old master, and it's thought that perhaps there was no single individual named Lao Tzu, that Taoism might have actually been created by numerous people who joined forces under the Lao Tzu name. In any case, the book credited to Lao Tzu is called Tao Te Ching, which means the Book of the Way. It describes the nature of life, the way to peace, and how a ruler should lead his life. Lao Tzu's Taoism takes the view that human nature is innately good, not bad. He says that people are born with few desires and need only the necessities of life, and therefore are happy in a simple state as long as basic things like food, water, and shelter are provided. By contrast to Confucianism, Lao Tzu says that ritual and society are actually bad because they teach people to do things that are unnatural and formulaic. New desires, in the Tao Tzu perspective, cause strife. Lao Tzu's cure to this is to reject society and return to nature. The ideal person for Taoists is the one who is like the uncarved block. That's the phrase they use, uncarved block. That person is natural and innocent and not divided by the troubles of culture and society. Taoism is an outlook full of serenity and happiness that stem from simple aspects of life. That seems to appeal to many modern people who are sick and tired of the escalating consumerism, pressures of today's society. However, he may take it a bit farther than most people want to go, with the implication that we basically become hermits in the woods. Lao Tzu's Taoism also contains paradoxes. For example, if human nature is good, how did these same people, good people, make culture that's so bad? Also, why does Lao Tzu tell us to be natural? If it were natural for us to seclude ourselves from people, why aren't we doing it ourselves already? The second Taoist to rise to fame was a man named, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but I think it's Chuangzi, spelled Zhuangzi, but I think it's pronounced Chuangzi. And it was about 300 years later. He's what we might call an internalist. In his view, human nature is sort of good. He believes there's a source of goodness within all of us that can be reached, but that we are by nature flawed. His view is still considered a view of Tao, but in this form of Taoism, the concept of the heart-mind comes into existence. Chuangzi believes there are three levels from which we can get our rightness. The doctrines, the heart-mind, which is now simplified just be called the mind, and the qi, which is roughly corresponds to a person's inner energy. Chuangzi insists that we must listen to our heart-mind and empty the mind, which leads to a loss of self, but yet something is left. The main concept of Chuangzi that conflicts with Lao Tzu is that he suggests that since we are in society already, that there's no need to reject it and go live as hermits in the woods. Instead, he says we should learn how to move through society skillfully and connect with our inner qi to act as our motivating essence. Well, Taoism was adopted as a state religion of China in 400 AD, so it's quite a bit later, hundreds of years later. Lao Tzu was glorified as a deity. Taoism, along with Buddhism and Confucianism, became one of the three great religions of China, where these religions coexisted for over 1,600 years. With the end of the Qing Dynasty in 1911, state support for Taoism ended. Most of the Taoist heritage was actually destroyed during the following period of warlordism. And since the communists took over in 1949, religious freedom has been severely restricted. So that's how Taoism came into being and a little of the history. Now let's think of some of the ideas. First, what is the Taoist view of God? Well, the Tao is not a deity in the sense of a Western deity. The Tao is a force that surrounds everyone, and therefore everyone must listen and find enlightenment. Each believer's ultimate goal is to become one with the Tao, or the way. Here are a few of the ways Taoism looks at the world. Taoism views time as cyclical rather than linear as we view it in Western thinking. Taoists generally have an interest in promoting health and vitality. Each person must nurture the qi, the air, the breath, which we have been given just naturally. Development of virtue is a person's chief task. The three jewels to be sought are compassion, moderation, and humility. Taoists follow the Wu Wei, which is to let nature take its course, or others might define Wu Wei as consciously taking no action. And before taking any action, one should plan in advance and consider carefully whether it's really necessary. A Taoist is to be kind to other individuals, largely because such actions tend to be reciprocated. Taoists believe that people are compassionate by nature, and that left to their own devices, they will show this compassion without expecting a reward. Now let's consider the yin-yang symbol, the symbol I was showing you there at the beginning. I hope everyone knows the yin-yang symbol. It's two swirling shapes. One is white, one is black, with a dot of the opposite color in the middle of each shape. It represents the balance of the opposites in the universe. When they're equally present, all is calm. When one is outweighed by the other, there's confusion and disarray. The two swirling shapes inside the symbol give the impression of change, which is seen as the only constant in the universe. One tradition states that yin, the dark side, represents the breath that formed the earth, and yang symbolizes the breath that formed the heavens. The most traditional view is that yin represents the aspects of femininity, being soft, cool, calm, introspective, and healing. And yang represents the aspects of masculinity, being hard, hot, energetic, moving, and aggressive. Another view is that they represent day and night. But since nothing in nature is purely black or purely white, the symbol includes a small black dot inside the white swirl and white spot inside the black swirl. Ultimately, yin and yang symbolize any two opposing forces. Taoists believe that humans intervene in the natural way of things, in the Tao, and upset the balance. To me, the valuable part of the yin-yang symbol is what the viewer brings to it, what you can see in it. The practice of Tai Chi is associated with Taoism. Long history of involvement by Taoists in various exercise and movement techniques. Tai Chi is said to work on all parts of the body. It claims to stimulate the central nervous system, lower blood pressure, relieve stress, tone muscles without strain, enhance digestion, and improve blood circulation. Its rhythmic movements claim to massage the internal organs and improve their functionality. Traditional Chinese medicine teaches that illness is caused by blockages or lack of balance in the body's qi, the internal energy. Tai Chi claims to balance this energy flow. So what can we learn from Taoists to enhance our lives? In general, I'll start by saying that I think Taoism is a great way to look at things, but that I don't accept the whole package. When I think about a philosophy or faith, I try to find the parts that make sense to me, as most you use do, discard the parts that I feel are ridiculous, and look at the remainder as falling in the category of interesting things to ponder. Most importantly, you don't have to accept the whole thing in order to pick off the morsels of truth as you run across them. So, about Taoism, this is what I've gotten from it, what I reject, and what I see as interesting. You may have a totally different list than me. Let me start with the few things I don't like about it. One part I don't like is the apparent idea that ignorance is bliss. As Lao Tzu wrote, "The sage keeps the people innocent of knowledge, free from desire, and ensures that the clever never act. Do that which consists of taking non-action, and order will prevail." It's not something I agree with. I also don't agree with Lao Tzu's recommendation of non-action. He wrote, "In pursuit of the Tao, one does less every day. One does less and less until one does nothing at all. But when one does nothing at all, there is nothing that is not done. It is always through not meddling that the world is won. Should you meddle, then you are not equal to the task of winning the world." Unquote. So if I'm interpreting this correctly, it's saying that we should not know things and not do things. I prefer some of the later Taoist thinkers better. So, there are things I like. There are a lot of things that I do like and ways I can think it can apply to our everyday lives. One is the way it views divinity. In Taoism, divinity is everything. We just may not always notice it. I like that, and I do believe it's true, that divinity is in everything. Another part of Taoism, Taoist admonitions, says not to get caught in society's promotion of things. Remember, for Lao Tzu and Chuangzi, society corrupts. At no time might this be more the case than now. Our economy relies on consumers wanting things. And it's even better if they feel that they need things. If we don't have the most recent clothes, we're out of it. If we don't drive the newest or biggest or flashier car, you'll be looked down upon. Advertising techniques that border on mind control are used to convince us to feel inferior if we don't use the coolest new products. In Taoism, people are born good and pleasant and calm. It is society that builds up false desires for these things. Taoism teaches us that if we can realize that they're not real needs, we can overcome them. I like the fact that Taoism is such an open concept that you can apply it in so many ways and play with the principles. There's a book which we heard about, the Tao of Pu. Pu is seen as the ultimate ideal of Taoism. He is the uncarved woodblock. He is completely free and makes no judgments or assumptions. He simply follows his heart. The other characters represent other types of spirituality we find in society. It's an interesting way of looking at things. I like the idea of being the uncarved block of wood or the eyes of a child when it's applied appropriately. It's sometimes very useful to look at a problem with new eyes, not being totally taken in by past history and baggage. I like the idea of trying to see things you've seen every day as if they're new. However, on the other hand, balancing that out, some of that history is called experience. And it's important to look at things by applying experience too. But most of what I take from Taoism is the same as I got from my youth, the concept of balance and moderation. I'm not sure the idea of balance always refers to moderation, but that's the way I've applied it. And I've modified the concept a little bit. I was disturbed that moderation in all things could be an excuse for mediocrity. Over the years, I've come up with the following idea. I can apply the principle of moderation to moderation itself. In other words, I believe it's good to occasionally be extreme. Rather than seeing life symbolized as a circle, always striving for the center, for the balance point, I now see one's reaction to events should be more as a bell curve. Most of the time, it's probably best to be living in the middle of the curve. But there are times, and according to Taoism, it's best that these times be well considered, when it's really worth it, that it's okay to go out on the extremes. After all, blindly going for moderation and balance all the time could be seen as being single-mindedly obsessive in that pursuit, and that's not moderation. In this way, moderation rules, but then the times you do go to the extreme, you know it's got to be worth it and thought through. We each have to find the balance between moderation and less moderation that we're comfortable with. I think it's good to always be mindful of the balances in life. We need to balance work and family. We need a good balance between being comfortable in our home surroundings and having new adventures. You can apply this to so many aspects of life and on so many levels. Balance between rest and exercise. Balance between expressing yourself and listening to others. Balance between being with others and being alone. Balance between change and continuity. I could go on with the list for days. One of the things I like very much about Taoism is that it's more of a philosophy or a way of life than a religion in the Western sense of things. I like the idea of the three jewels being compassion, moderation, and humility. I agree with Chuangzi that we should live within society and that we need to always be aware that many of the desires promoted by society are false. I tend to side with Chuangzi about human nature, that human nature is mostly good, that there is a source of goodness within all of us, and that we have to actively work on cultivating it. However, I don't believe that the way to do it is by minimizing self. I believe the right way is to exercise that goodness. I agree with Chuangzi that people are compassionate by nature, and that left to their own devices, they will show compassion without expecting a reward. I think this is the reason many UUs seek out a church, not as a selfish way to avoid the pain of hell and the reward of eternal life, but rather as an outlet for showing compassion, whether for reward or not. Today I've looked at these three Eastern faiths through a number of lenses. Their view of human nature, how they see the individual's relationship in society, and what some of the central tenets are. There are other important Eastern faiths that I didn't get into. For example, Buddhism started in India about a century after Taoism and is said to have incorporated a number of Taoist ideas. It's a beautiful faith. It's full of wisdom, too. Sikhism, much more recent, it was developed almost two millennium later, and it's a beautiful religion. It's monotheistic, as opposed to being pantheistic, and similar to Taoism, it's also based on promotion of ethical living. I encourage anyone who's interested in Eastern faiths to take the time to learn more about these wonderful mystical worlds, and consider how they might relate to your spirituality and to our lives today. Thanks for listening.